Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
All righty. I'd like to welcome you to the Brothers for Real radio show. I am Robert Gatewood, your host, and you are in for a treat as always. I'm going to bring you some information, inspiration. We're going to talk about some real issues in the realest way. That's the way we do it here on the Brothers for Real radio show. And the show is a compilation of a lot of brothers here talking a bunch of snacks. Pull up a chair, get comfortable. Feel free to join in the conversation. If you're listening by computer, you can call in at 646-787-1967. We love you. Brothers for Real. And I love this show. Last week we were on Radio 1, but today we're on Blog Talk. We're going to be here every Tuesday from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Join us. Join us. Tell somebody. Come on. Come on. Come on. This is the brothers. I think I got some brothers on the line here. Let's see. Who do I have tonight? I think I have Joseph. Welcome to the show.
What's up, Robert?
All right.
Greetings from Charlotte, North Carolina.
From Charlotte, North Carolina? Man, you're a long way from here. All right. Got Charlotte in the house. Leon, are you in the house?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing, man?
Hey, Leon. I heard you up there. Are you still up there in the hills of Asheville?
Man, I'm headed down the hill, man. It's crazy out here, man. I got a guy stick up his thing on me. He stick his thing up at me, and he's driving on a darn motorcycle. I had to control myself.
You didn't run him over. Don't run anybody over. I know, man.
I had to control myself, man. He was not thinking.
He was not thinking at all. That's a fight he's going to lose every time.
He's giving you the finger. You're in a big old truck, and he's in a motorcycle.
Big old truck. He's on a motorbike.
Something wrong with that picture.
That finger was his IQ.
Now, there's somebody over there about 100 miles an hour. It's crazy out here. Huh?
Leon, he was telling you what his IQ was.
I figured
his IQ. IQ of one. Probably one minus one. Got another brother on the line. Rum Kelly, welcome to the show.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Joseph. Hey, Leon. Hey, brothers. How
hey,
you guys
Curtis,
doing tonight?
Curtis, Leon, Robert.
You guys already have a discussion going about a motorcycle. All right. Good job.
Yeah, man,
good
this
job.
Guy gave me the finger. This guy gave me the finger. He was riding a motorbike, man. I'm driving a truck.
Yeah. See, that's when arrogance becomes very dangerous.
Yeah, arrogance can get you killed in these days.
Let me break that down, man. That's just plain foolish.
That's when ignorance overcomes all reality.
All right, we got another
y'all,
call
y'all
on
talking
the
about,
line.
Y'all talking about Trump already. Y'all talking about Trump already, but go right here, bro.
We were trying to hold off, but you can't, you know what, you can't talk about anything silly and Trump name doesn't come up. I don't care.
I'm telling you.
If
the word
is
talking about
silly,
ignorance,
arrogance, and his name just naturally comes into the conversation.
That's true.
All right, guys.
That's true.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I tell you one thing, I'm glad I'm celebrating that this is radio and not TV. Otherwise, you see this big cold Heineken in my hand. But
boy, you're a preacher, boy. Don't be talking like that.
Oh, that's right. God, that's right. I cannot talk like this. That's right. I am Reverend W.H. Gatewood's son. Plus, I have Reverend Curly Gatewood on the phone. So, brother, like I said, I have this big grape soda. I have this big grape soda in my hand.
You're getting better for you than a soda, Robert. So.
I did not
every time. But we can't do any commercials for Heineken. Scratch that.
All right.
Talk about
Hey, check this out, though.
speaking of grape soda, I was in the line the other day getting me some gas at the gas station. And this is no kidding, guys. You think I'm joking. There was a guy in front of me buying some grape-flavored cigars.
Oh, man. Wow.
Now,
first of all, I didn't know they sold grape-flavored cigars. That's the first problem, but go ahead.
Sound like you're going to make a grape-flavored blunt.
Joseph, have you ever had a grape-flavored cigar? Just answer that.
No.
Oh, you have?
He said what?
Oh, was that enough?
My answer is no. I didn't know they made flavored cigars.
But see, let me tell you, only in certain communities can you find a grape-flavored cigar. I can assure you that. I'm not going to say which community, but I have a feeling you can't get a grape-flavored cigar in Potomac, Maryland, in D.C. area. Or I'm sure there's areas in Atlanta, there's probably areas in Charlotte you cannot find a grape-flavored cigar.
There's areas in Waynesburg you can't find a grape-flavored cigar.
Man, maybe I'm just in the wrong neighborhood.
Where were you? That's the question.
I'm ashamed to say now. I wasn't where I lived. It was way on the other side of town, way down the street. It wasn't near me.
We have a caller.
That's probably not a bad idea.
What, to make them
great?
So I said, for people that smoke cigars, a great cigar is probably not a bad idea, because I tried to smoke a cigar one time, and I got so sick, and I haven't even come close to a cigar since.
Hey guys, this is what we're gonna do. Just for the audience, just for the listening audience, I'm gonna give out. I want the brothers to introduce yourselves. I'm gonna start with Joe. Just tell us a little bit about yourself, kind of work you're into, what your passion, your dreams, your aspirations, your pet peeves, anything you want to share. I just want the brothers to introduce themselves to the audience. Start with you, Joe.
All right, my name is Joseph K. Gatewood. I am the owner of Gatewood Financial Insurance and Real Estate in Charlotte, North Carolina. I am a graduate of North Carolina Central University with concentrations in history and political science. I am a big family man. I love my daughters and granddaughters and my wife. I'm a big family man, and I love staying close to the family. One of my aspirations is that one day we people, black, African American, Negro, whatever you want to refer to us as, come together as a people and start supporting and loving and promoting each other.
Man, that's so special. Joe, stop, man, stop. Patricia Tito, and I like that, Joseph.
Thank you.
I like that. Thank you. Welcome, Joseph. Welcome to the show, and I'm glad you could join us this evening. Welcome. Hey, Leon, tell us
your
story,
sir.
Man.
I tell you what, man, I'm Leon Gatewood, and I'm 11 out of that 14 people. You know, they had mommy, they had 14 children, and I'm number 11. And I graduated from Livingstone with a BS degree in biology. I did about 8 weeks at Fisk University. That was pretty exciting. That's where I first saw my first live concert, the Commodore, Taste of Honey, and Confunction. Anyway, I thought that was important. That's important to my history.
I got you. Important, man.
T-Phone.
Yeah, right now.
Go ahead.
Whatever. Anyway, right now I'm employed with Anson County Wastewater. In 2005, I'll say very instrumental. I use the word founder loosely. I was very instrumental in starting an organization called POWER, which is an acronym for Helping Our Loved Ones Learn and Achieve, which was we started to address low achievement in the Anson County schools. At that time, we realized, and this is my peeve here, getting into the peeve thing now. We realized that only 54% of the children were reading on grade level in Anson County school system. And the way we realized that was because the principal at the time, Mr. Michael McLeod, was going around tooting the horn and said, man, I need help at my school, man. I need grown folks. I need black folks to come together, man, helps out with these kids at the school, man. Only 54% of my kids are reading on grade level. But when I looked at his numbers, finally, put myself to the side and looked and finally started to listen to this brother, I realized that only 30% of black kids are reading on grade level.
Hmm.
So
get out of here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So usually when I tell this story in a large group, everybody look at me like, man, where y'all live? But just take your time, folks, and look at the numbers where you're from. They are not mm-hmm. much different, if any. They're not much different. So, anyway, so we got this organization started. And we'll talk more about that later. But, you know, obviously I'm a DJ. So I play for a lot of music, like play for a lot of parties. Matter of fact, we have Living Stones Homecoming coming up next weekend. I'll be playing for two parties and a gospel brunch. So everybody get ready for that. Yes, sir.
All right.
That's all.
That's enough
about me.
Hey, man, that's good
stuff,
man. Welcome, Leon. Welcome, man. Welcome.
Thank you,
brother.
Thank you.
All right. Rum Cully. I call Rum Cully because I call him Rum for a reason, but I'm going to let you tell him why. Tell us why. Welcome to the show there, Rum Cully.
Thank you, Robert. And it's also an honor to be on. Yeah, it's also an honor to be on the telephone with my brother that I really love. I'm also very much into family. So I certainly can put an exclamation point on Joseph. And, in fact, it was my family, my older brother, that probably drove my compassion to civil rights. When I was growing up as a little boy, I got my first NAACP membership card when I was about 10 years old. I was so excited about having an NAACP membership card, and it happened because Joseph, who's on the call, was the president of the youth council in NAACP. My brother Aaron, who's deceased, who lives heavily in my spirit, and I'm sure he does with the rest of the brothers and family. He was the vice president of the local youth council of the NAACP under the leadership of Ada Ford Singleton. And of course, Robert has always, and Leon, y'all just been great boys, guys. And it helped to drive my spirit toward caring for people. And so that's what I basically have done as far as staying involved with civil rights, staying involved with the NAACP. And, of course, we'll probably talk more about that. But I've served in several leadership capacities at the local and state NAACP. And sometimes I do a project with the national NAACP. I'm also, as you mentioned earlier, I was called into the ministry in 1993. Jesus' sermon, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recover sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are oppressed." So I'm thankful to be on the show. I did have the great fortune also of going to Livingstone College. I ultimately ended up with my bachelor's in theology, and I do have an associate degree in early childhood education. Due to what Frederick Douglass said, it is easier to build strong children than to repair broken men. Thank you, brother.
Preach, bro.
Amen.
Man, I got my fan over here going. Wow. All I need is some fried chicken now and a big old piece of cake. Hey, thank you, brother. Hey, y'all remember Daddy used to go to Revival and the sisters would come out with those. They'd have like a shoebox full of food. And
Lord,
man, you talking about some eating? Oh God,
man, we stayed up all night waiting on that box.
Hey man, I'm not gonna say it was church, man. But one time he brought some chicken down there with wrapped in newspaper.
Uh oh,
we
newspaper.
Ate it.
Man, you know what? Not only did we eat the chicken, we probably ate the paper it came in too.
No matter what we were running, we were gonna eat.
I'm over here wondering what's the problem.
Same thing, we would eat. Could have just
I'm
had
like,
it in the shoe box with the shoes in the box.
No problem.
He could have been wrapped in Lysol or whatever.
He
could have been wrapped
been white,
in white.
Hey,
it
could have been wrapped in fertilizer.
Once we got to that chicken.
Leon, hey, if we don't seem overwhelmed, pardon. Yeah, we just got there. Sorry
right,
if we seem underwhelmed.
I guess that was the biology major.
Maybe that's the biology kicking in. The biology.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I'm in early. You know, Leon was going to be the doctor. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's
they kicked in on me early, man. I was like, I had never read the paper I particularly
Hey, Leon. Leon, let me be the first to tell you. That was the biggest non-news story of the night.
What? I'm in the wrong car. I'm on the wrong
car. All right, go. Everything didn't move. We ate it back then.
Talking about news, baby. It was wrapped. You mean it was wrapped at all?
Oh, hey, family, we ate food. I don't see how you had a chance to see what it was wrapped in. You talking about 14 people and talking about what the chicken was wrapped in. I ain't never noticed a chicken came wrapped.
Okay, y'all. That's great.
I guess I was a little picky. Go ahead.
Hey, Leon. This is the last thing. This is the last word on this subject. I think that was the first newspaper I'd ever seen. we didn't get the newspaper. We couldn't afford a newspaper.
Yeah, I didn't know nobody could afford a newspaper back then. Yeah, it had a wrap of chicken in it.
That was a double whammy.
Because we got a newspaper and chicken. We were that was a good day.
All right, guys, come on. Bring it back in the road.
Let's get that serious.
Good job, right, Leon. That's the way you do it, boy. That's the way you bring it in. That's the way you do it. We're going right here. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Leon. Sorry,
that's
Leon.
All right,
I'm Robert Gatewood. I'm hosting the show. If my voice sounds familiar to anybody, I'm actually also the host of the Marketing Pulpit radio show on Radio 1 in Washington, D.C. I am child number 10 of Reverend Dr. W.H. Gatewood and Mrs. Geneva Gaddy Gatewood, right behind Aaron and Joseph and in front of Leon and Curtis. And, of course, there are 14 of us. I'm a big family person myself. I love my family. I went to Livingstone also. As a matter of fact, Leon, Curtis, and myself were there all at once, and we were known as Gate 3.
That's right.
Gate 3.
And you Gate number 1, buddy. You Gate number 1.
I was Gate 1. Leon was Gate 2. Curtis was Gate 3, and he started a little DJ thing called Gate 3. And Gate 3 is still floating around in various formats.
Yeah.
No disrespect, Joseph. I'm sure the Aggies are nice, too, but...
Don't curse me like that, man. Eagles. Don't curse
Eagles.
Uh-oh.
Do not send for Eagles. Do not call.
Break it out.
Hey, man, I was just testing you, man. Just seeing if you were paying attention. I mean, the Eagles are cool, too. But
I'm Gate 8.
Gate 8. I like that. But I went to Livingstone. I got my bachelor's degree in political science, pre-law. I was going to go to law school at Syracuse University. I decided to pass and went to work for a company called Grand Union Supermarkets, which actually shipped me up to Washington, D.C. That's where I got my start in business and been in business ever since. I got my MBA degree back in 2000, and I've spent the last, really most of my adult life, helping companies become business owners, entrepreneurs. I do this through a series of workshops. I'm an adjunct professor at Prince George's Community College in the D.C. area. And I wear quite a few hats, but my reason for being is to help businesses grow in general and particularly in our community so that we can stop running to other communities moaning and groaning and crying about give me a job, gimme, gimme, gimme. I have no tolerance for that. We have the skills, we have the know-how, we have the wherewithal. If we would just channel it and point it in the right direction. So, folks, that's the four brothers, Joseph, Robert, Leon, and Curtis. Now, when we come back, guys, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have a little news. We're going to talk about the news, and we're going to talk about a few other things when we come back. This is the Brothers for Real radio show. So, folks, give us about a minute, and we will be right back.
Navigate through Raleigh, North Carolina.
A federal judge blocked Trump's third travel ban. A federal judge on Tuesday blocked Trump's administration from implementing the latest version of the president's controversial travel ban. Man, this guy ever going to give it up? Now, here's some sad news. A 320-pound woman sat on a little girl as punishment and killed her, authorities say. Man, that's a bummer. Now, this Florida woman is facing murder charges. She tried to punish the little 9-year-old girl by sitting on her, causing the child to go in cardiac arrest. Veronica Posey, 64, told investigators that her cousin, Derica Lindsay, had been misbehaving, so she decided to sit on top of the girl as punishment. Come on, sister. You don't ever have those situations when you say to yourself, please don't let them be black. Please don't let them be black. If there was ever a case, this was one of them. Now, here's a piece of news. A man was held by the Taliban for 5 years after being, and he was told, this is funny, this man was held captive by the Taliban for 5 years. And when they were about to let him go, the captors told him that Trump was president. And the guy said, "You lying." I think the guy said, "Wait, have you heard that?" He said, I think the guy turned himself back in once the guy told him that Trump was actually president.
I just went to Canada or somewhere, and he didn't go home.
He said, I'm not going there. He said, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "Man, it was better off as being locked up by the Taliban." Here's a piece of news. Colin Kaepernick filed grievance against the NFL teams, alleging that they conspired to keep him from playing. Kaepernick filed this grievance against the players, alleging that they colluded to keep him from playing. Multiple outlets reported on Sunday, October 15th. He hired this high-powered attorney, Mark Garagos, to represent him instead of going through the NFL Players Association. This Garagos guy is also known for representing people like rapper Mike Brown. The senators strike a deal to save Obamacare. Now, Obama, Trump came out the other day and he passed an executive order which was pretty much defunding some of the subsidies the insurance companies are receiving. And so the senators got together today and passed an emergency measure to keep the subsidies going in a short term. Another story. The state of Florida has declared a state of emergency ahead of a speech by white supremacist Spencer. Now, you're talking about a strange occurrence. Instead of just telling the guy not to come, they decided to declare a state of emergency. So, Joseph, just pick one of these stories and let me give me your take on it.
Well, my wife wants me to talk about the situation with the NFL players.
Okay,
and,
please.
And what the big issue here is we have the we have these guys that are simply exercising their First Amendment rights.
Well,
and we also have a president who has sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States, telling the owners and calling these young men, our finest young men, sons of dogs, just for exercising their First Amendment rights. Now, keep
that
in mind,
so
that, like I said, the president of the United States, when he takes office, he swears that he will uphold the Constitution of the United States. And, of course, the First Amendment to the Constitution is free speech.
Yeah, well,
so,
well.
So in my opinion, a president would get up and tell employers to fire their employees for exercising their First Amendment rights, to me, that is an impeachable offense.
Yeah.
Now,
one of his main functions is to uphold the Constitution.
He takes a sworn oath to that. So how ironic is it that the same guy gets up and tells the owners of the NFL to violate the law? Because Marbury versus Madison, of course, and I'm sure, Robert, you pre-law, you know what Marbury versus Madison says. That's a court decision that decided that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. It's the law of the land.
You're right, brother.
So Trump, in my opinion, has committed an impeachable offense.
Another one, but right.
Another one.
Hey, Curtis.
And the spineless Congress. The spineless Congress. Senate and the House of Representatives, they're just sitting back and letting this madman have his way. Now look at the irony here. Now you have these young men who are exercising their First Amendment rights, and the President of the United States is asking the employers of these young men to fire them for exercising their right. But at the same time, you have other people walking around toting guns, shooting people, shooting babies, shooting people in movie theaters, shooting people at concerts, and they're hiding behind, and they can't do anything about gun control because of what? The Second Amendment. And you have the same people that are so hard on these young men for exercising their First Amendment rights that every time they get ready to go out here and buy up a lot of guns and shoot up a bunch of people, we can't take away their Second Amendment rights. Somebody explain this irony to me.
Joseph, we have a caller on the phone. We have a couple of callers. I'm just going to ask you to chime in, and I'll field your calls. You're listening to Brothers for Real. Okay.
Hello.
Maybe that was just a listener. We have some people listening. If you don't want to chime in, that's fine, but we do have some callers on the line. If you want to join in, just let me know, and we'll patch you into the conversation. Leon, we have you on hold. Your call was making some static. So if you're saying something, I'm going to activate your mic right now and see if that noise is still coming in. It is coming in pretty hard. Leon, when you do this, when you're not speaking, put your phone on mute. That way we won't get that static, okay?
Okay, man. It's still making problems, giving you a problem.
That did it. I think that helped.
That helped.
I think
it did. All right. Curtis, did you want to chime in on what Joseph just said? You want to add?
Well, I tell you, I definitely want to give him a high five from Oxford, North Carolina to Charlotte. He mm-hmm. definitely hit on some, you know, just reasonable, logical, constitutionally sound. He made very constitutionally sound statements that are indisputable. It is the Trump regime and the Trump supporters who are out of line with the Constitution and who also out of line with the Bible they swore in on. So
hey, Curtis, let me jump
sir.
In here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of my topics I want to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You tell me why. Why are so many Christians or so-called Christians steadily supporting and standing behind and uplifting Donald J. Trump? What in the heck is going on there?
Hypocrite. They're hypocrites. That's one good word. One good way of putting it. And secondly, Robert, I also blame the blind leaders of the blind. See, Jesus talked about blind leaders of the blind. He said they would be blind, meaning he didn't mean physically blind. He meant they would be misinformers. They do not tell truth. They do not speak for him. They are pretending to speak for him, but they do not speak for Christ because they are liars. And I talked about Sunday about how the Bible is one of the most read books in the world, but it's also one of the most lied on books in the world. And these people are pretending to speak for Christ when they're speaking and trying to promote money and have money and get these corporate jets and build these mansions and do all these things that have absolutely nothing to do with Christ. So the same people are also making people think that the rich should continue getting richer, the poor should continue getting poor, black folk rights and like those gentlemen Joseph talked about, that they continue to have their rights trampled upon. But they don't talk about the scriptures in Isaiah that say, woe unto those who make unjust laws, those who issue oppressive decrees that deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. They don't read the scriptures. They're just going based upon what some of these high-profile corporate preachers, who basically, I say, they think JC stands for Jim Crow rather than Jesus Christ. So they're preaching a Jim Crow gospel. They're not speaking the gospel of the truth. That's what the problem is.
Well, Curtis, let me say this, Robert. Let me chime in one time. Because this is a message that I've been wanting to get across. There is a pole in the eye of America. Because you remember when Jesus talked about, you condemning somebody else, because they have a speck in their eye.
Exactly.
But they have a pole in there. There's a pole in the eye of America. There's hypocrisy on every level. There's a hypocrisy in the White House. There's a hypocrisy with the evangelicals. There's hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're always constantly condemning other people, but we can never look at ourselves and see what we are doing. Jesus said, you will know them by their works, not by what they say.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what Jesus said. You will know them by their works, not by what they say.
But guys, let me ask you this. Now, generally when we talk about the Christians that are supporting Donald J. Trump, we're thinking about people who are outside of our community. But we have people in our community who are either complicit, they're either silent, or in some place downright advocates for Trump. And is the church in our community doing enough? And what should the church be doing besides, of course, supporting Trump shouldn't be an option, but Curtis.
The church is absolutely not doing enough. In fact, the church need to be reintroduced to the real Jesus Christ. If they are reintroduced to the real Jesus Christ, they would be ashamed of themselves, and they would start doing more, as Joseph said and as I've heard you say, and Leon and others, they'll start doing more in their communities right where they are to make sure they're looking after the poor that Jesus came out talking about, looking after the brokenhearted, looking after the captives, those guys who are going to prison, looking after all the people that they're allowing this systemic racism and this systemic hatred and oppression to keep down, to beat down. If they were actually doers of Christ, they would not tolerate any of it, and they would be using their churches to go forward with the ministry of justice.
Leon, what say you? What say you,
well,
man, brother?
Well,
now you can take Leon, you can take any one of these topics we talked about. You can talk about Kaepernick. You can talk about the 320-pound woman that sat on the little girl. Now that's a shame right there.
That's the one I want to talk about right there.
Man, I know
there.
I know that.
Excuse me, man. I didn't mean to laugh. That shouldn't be laugh. That,
I know. I ain't going to talk about that. But go ahead.
Yeah. Let Leon come up.
No, see,
go
that's
ahead.
What I
it takes
about
Leon
about
to talk about that.
Because of some crazy stuff going on out here. And that's just another crazy thing, man. The whole world going crazy. Now, I got some of my best friends are big, too. But like I said, that's just crazy.
Yes, sir.
Now, why would somebody do that?
Well,
Let me get how much 320 pounds.
Let me ask Robin this again. I know you said something in the beginning was nine, but just a black woman.
Leon. I know, and that's another topic I'm gonna bring up. I'm gonna segue. But how many times have you been listening to the news, and you hear about some tragedy that happened? Somebody did some dastardly deed. They either shot up something, blew up something, ran over somebody, and you're saying to yourself, "Please don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black. Please don't let him be black." I remember this guy when this guy shot up for Las Vegas. This Leon. I'm sad to say this is one of them. I hate the fact that this is one of them.
Oh man.
That hurts.
Well, Leon, we can take that several different angles, Robert.
Please.
We got two issues here.
Please.
Two issues that need to be addressed.
Make it make sense. Besides the lady being 320 pounds. But what else?
No, what I'm saying, there are two issues we need to talk about here. See, there's an issue of child abuse, which we are all aware of in Oakland. Also, there's an issue of obesity in America. So,
an issue of child abuse and food abuse.
Right. So, but I think we need to. We need to all be more concerned about our children because I see parents all the time saying things to their children and punishing their children out in public in a brutal way. So, and of course, and while we were on the subject, we were talking about the Bible a few minutes ago. And of course, you can bring this into scripture because Jesus said that suffer the little children to come unto me. And when of course, the word suffer, he says, let them come unto me and do not try to stop them. And he went on further to say that anybody who harms one of these little children, would have been better off if he hadn't even been born. In other words, it would have been better off if you put, what they say, put around his neck and throw him in
a millstone around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea.
That's right. So when you start messing with our children, you start messing with the children, you better be careful.
Let me tell you why I even put that in the mix. Because I know that particularly Leon and Curtis have worked around kids a lot during their careers. They have a very good fondness for them, as we all do because we all are parents. But Leon said something a few years ago that I heard from him that always stuck with me. When he was talking about the Maasai tribe, when he was talking about his founding days of Hala, he said, "What about the children? What about the children? How are the children? Are we doing enough to protect our children? This world that we are in right now, I mean, it's really people are acting the fool." And when I read these kind of stories, it breaks my heart because I say, aren't these kids suffering enough already?
See, that's somebody's child world. That lady sat on, man. That's somebody's child that lady sat on, man. You know? I mean, how you going to sit on somebody's child like that?
Is this an example, Joe? This another angle that I looked at when I looked at this story. Is this another example of self hate? Would you do this to somebody's kid of a different race? Think about it.
I wouldn't do that.
That's some terrible stuff. That's some terrible stuff.
Abusing a kid is not is not an effective way to punish a kid or to get positive behavior from that kid. I was telling a lady the other day, I said, now my daddy, he raised 14 children. And my daddy has never abused me.
Never.
He has never abused us. He was a kind, gentle man, and because of that, that's how we grew to love and respect him and mama, because of the kindness and the love that they showed us, not by them beating up on us all the time.
Guys, we're coming up on a break. We're going to take another one-minute break. When we come back, we're going to touch on another topic, and I want you guys to gather your thoughts on this. Right now, we're seeing all this love and support for people who are hooked on opioids. People are just opening their pockets, their hearts, their wallets, and their minds. But I remember a few years ago when crack was running the food, did we hear this same type of love and legislation and money? So we'll be back in a moment. We're going to talk about opioids versus crack and what the heck, what is going on now, and why didn't this happen a few years ago when crack was running in an epidemic? So hang on, guys. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back in a moment.
All right.
People here, why are we talking now? Heard it. Robert.
You're listening to Brothers for Real, a weekly talk show on Blog Talk Radio. I encourage you to go to brothersforreal.com. Also, find us on Facebook at Brothers for Real. Find us on Instagram at Brothers for Real. You can also find us on Twitter at Brothers for Real. We are real brothers, discussing real issues in the realest way. You don't have to be a brother. One thing you do have to be, you have to be real. This is Brothers of Real. I'm Robert Gatewood, your host. I have on the line, I have my brother Joseph Gatewood, Leon Gatewood, Curtis Gatewood, and we have a few listeners hanging on, and feel free to jump in if you get an opening. And to those listening online, also, you can also hear the show afterwards by going to the Blog Talk link or go to Brothers for Real, and that same link you clicked on to get here will also get you to the archives of the shows. All shows are available about 5 minutes after we go off the air, so you can go back and listen to the show if you missed the part, and if you want to share it with your network. Guys, I was reading the news the other day, and it wasn't just the other day. I'm driving down the street. I'm sitting in my car. I'm in my office. I'm just hearing opioids, opioids, opioids. At the same time, I'm thinking back to 1996, 1989, when the crack epidemic was going crazy. I'm thinking about three strikes, you're out. I'm thinking about the war on drugs. All of a sudden, there's been like an armistice on the war on drugs. What is going on, folks? What's the difference between opioids and crack when it comes to punishment, money, treatment? Somebody help me out here.
Robert.
Leon.
This is Curtis. This is Curtis.
Remind me of Captain. What was that? Captain Spock. What was his name? On Star Trek.
Right.
Captain Kirk asked him something. He just looked at him and said, that was a rhetorical question, right?
But you know I know better, right? Go ahead, Curtis. Go ahead.
This is Curtis Gatewood. I just wanted to just say something here, and I think it's very important. A lot of times when people think about systemic or institutional white supremacy, they just think it's built upon the KKK, seeing the white sheets marching down the street, burning the crosses and carrying the Confederate flag. But the institutionalized white supremacy that has been pretty much in place since probably the 1600s or the arrival of the slaves, when in fact they decided that they were going to make black people slaves based upon their skin color. Ever since that time, there has been this deliberate attempt to make black folk more evil than whites, or dehumanize black people. And so what you saw is with the crack was they tried to use the crack epidemic, unfortunately, as a way to try to validate the racism and the subhumanization of black people. And despite the fact that we already had facts to show before we had this particular form of drug abuse by whites, that black whites were already using drugs in any category, or for the most part, whether it's cane or crack cocaine, but cocaine in general, they were already using drugs as much, if not more, than African Americans all the time. And this is just exemplary of what happened during the so-called crime bill of 1994, I think it was, when they passed the crime bill, and they put crack cocaine in order for a person to use to have be charged with powder cocaine. They had to have 100 times more grams than in crack. And that right there showed you right there when the drug were right there being used at the same time. So it never was a time where black people were using more crack or more cocaine than white people, but they demonized the type of the cocaine that blacks were using as a part of systemic white supremacist racism and oppression, and they used it to also carry out the so-called war on drugs, but basically the war on black people, to use that as the pretext for mass incarceration. In fact, I would say probably what lost Hillary the election was probably the fact that Bill Clinton was the president at the time that crime bill was passed, and a lot of these young people, they're not dumb at all. They did not forget that. And they remember that these prisons are packed with black people, much because of the legislation that was passed by Bill Clinton.
But, Curtis, let me ask you this. Now, a lot of people are going to say, if you don't want to go to prison for using crack, don't use crack. If you don't want
right.
to go to, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. What do you say
right.
to those people that say that?
Those people just need to be consistent in how they use the law, period. Just like we talked about earlier about the Constitution of the United States of America. Any bill, any crime, anything that law or that should be enforced by law, people are not perfect people. So people are going to do things that they shouldn't do according to the law. The problem that they're having, Robert, is they are overly punishing black people or people based upon their races, and they're using they're unleveling the playing field when they say, like in the case of crack versus powder, or now the new opium or whatever the new drug might be that's used by white people or the preferred drug by whites. They're always using something to change the rules of the game, even when it came to voter suppression. Black folks started voting because they liked Obama and others. They started changing the rules on voting. So there's just always a way to change the rules when black people seem to be doing something that's favorable, or if white people are doing something that's negative, they change the rule to make it acceptable. So that's the sad thing about it. Go right ahead.
With drugs have always been a way to oppress people and to control people. Because keep in mind, the way that the Europeans were able to conquer America was by introducing alcohol to the native, to the indigenous people of this land, the people that we refer to as Indians. They used alcohol to suppress and to control them. And you remember during the Opium Wars in China, where the British really wanted the legal right to sell drugs in China. And, of course, the United States government was on the side of the British. But, of course, the result of the war, that the British had to get the drugs out of China. And, of course, and that's why China is a thriving nation right now, because they were able to fight drugs out of their country. And, of course,
right.
and crack cocaine was designed to destroy black people in this country. like a just like a friend of mine told me, he said the introduction of crack cocaine was about marketing, because before the introduction of crack cocaine, the average black person on the street could not afford pure cocaine. So in order for them to mass distribute it among our community, they had to break it down into crack. But the whole purpose, the drug,
to make it
drugs have a history. Drug has a history of destroying and controlling people that you want to keep under control. Now the thing with the opioids, of course, most of the time these are prescription drugs, and the reason that they're doing something about that is because it's affecting the wrong group of people.
But you know,
and of course, in the wrong group of people that's making money, and the people that's making money off of it, of course, is the drug industry, and it wasn't designed for that. But go ahead, I'm finished.
But you know, the pharmaceutical industry really it's just legalized drug dealing when you get down to it.
Oh yeah, they're drug dealers. If you know you got a drug store in every corner in every neighborhood, you may not even have a grocery store, but you're gonna see a drug store.
And they're just really the heroin and opioids and cocaine, all these things basically have the same base. They just tinker around the edges. They may increase the potency or reduce it for some drug to make it legal or not. But all this stuff
Go ahead. I just said the bottom line answer to your question is institutional racism.
Right.
Okay. Let me give you that. Let's just say it's institutional racism. But I'm gonna double back to one of our earlier issues. Now we have in the African American community, not only do we have a drug store, an alcohol, a payday loan on every corner, we also have a church. If we got the churches more involved, could we combat and overcome some of these issues that have been foisted upon our community if we took a more proactive role?
Of course we could.
I mean, is that a rhetorical question?
If we had more
people
doing what Leon Gatewood was doing.
Yeah, that's a rhetorical question, because we all know the answer to that. And, of course, Dr. Martin Luther King talked about that in his sermons about how the churches were the way he put it was how the churches were serving stale bread. See, when people come to your church, you know, they might be somebody on drugs, somebody who's been on the street all of their lives, and when you get there and you treat them like they're some type of outsider or they're some type of person from another planet. Instead of embracing these people, because Jesus said, it's the sick who needs a physician. But we continue to just preach over and over and over to the same people every Sunday.
Lord have mercy, Jesus.
Hey, Leon, I want to say, Leon, I have been muting your mic because you do have a lot of static. Every time I turn it back on, you can hear the quality of the broadcast go down. Can you hear it now? You hear the static? So
I hear Leon driving. That's a problem. Leon got that cricket phone. Get you a better phone, Leon.
I'm not a cricket.
Is that one of those phones you go to 7-Eleven and get? You pay them like $5 at a time.
Leon might be out of town, man.
Y'all
hard.
Go ahead.
I think when you start running out of time, I think it starts to do that.
Can y'all hear me, man?
Go pay your phone bill.
Can you hear me?
I hear you now. When you get
the flip side,
hey Robert.
The drugs, man. Here's the flip side of that, though. Just because they don't lock me, have me locking these guys up, doesn't mean they don't stop. It doesn't mean they stop doing it. See, that's the problem in the white community right now. It's unfortunate. Don't get me wrong. It's unfortunate. But see, the white community, they have ignored their problems.
Yeah.
And concentrating on locking us up for our problems.
That's
so you
right.
got a
mm-hmm.
whole lot of white folks running around here on drugs, man, and there's a problem to them now.
That's right. It's a problem. You see them on every corner now.
It's a big problem, man.
That's the same reason you have more white kids. The same reason more white kids get killed for driving drunk than black kids, because the police officers overlook the white kids and arrest the black kids. So it's either way, it's hard. It's bad for the black kids, but it's also bad for the white kids.
It's bad. It's a bad problem. And there's no...
Yeah, it's a problem. I mean, what I'm saying, what they need to do is just, if they would do things the right way, it would help everybody, make the community better for everybody, black, white, regardless of your race.
Okay,
racism has a tendency to always backfire.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw a thought out here, and it's a thought that has been with me for years, and that thought is that what we're seeing right now with the drugs, with the voting issues, and a lot of other issues that we're seeing, that there seem to be these inconsistencies or just downright hypocrisy, is that racists are having a hard time trying to make sure that only they benefit from the good things that happen in America and only punish people who are not of their ilk for the bad things. That is why every time you turn a page, you see hypocrisy. Hypocrisy now is so rampant, I mean, it's blinding. We were talking about
a poll in the eye of America. There's a poll in the eye of America. Y'all remember that. There's a poll in the eye of America.
Because think about this right here. Now, Donald Trump is trying to figure out a way, because I do believe what Jemele Hill said, this guy has some issues. He is not, this guy is call him a white supremacist, a racist, whatever you want to call him. He has some issues. But what he is doing and his base is doing is, they're trying to figure out a way that they can get the goodies without sharing them with other people who are in their same predicament. And that's where hypocrisy, we see it in religion, we see it in legislation, we see it in finances. It is just running rampant. So how can we as a people hold this country to this principle that all men are created equal, that we are protected under the law? Does the church need to get more involved? Do we have to hold our legislators more accountable? And this is something I want you to think about for the next show as we're about to wrap up here. Our Congress is bought and paid for.
Proxies. They're proxies for the wealthy. That's all.
That's exactly right. We are not a democracy. We are a plutocracy. Our Congress is bought and paid for, and that has not changed since this country really has been born. Do we need to – and this sounds terrible. Forgive me for saying this. Do we need to start paying some folks off? We got $1.3 trillion in economy running through our community. Do we need to start sending people some checks to start looking out for our issues? I mean,
no.
If this is how the system works, how do we get our share without playing the same game? Somebody help me out.
We can't do that. Because anytime you get in a you can't use the same method of your oppressor. Because he's better at that than we are, and he has more resources. So that's going to be That would be a losing proposition.
And it's almost like what Curtis said a minute ago. Every time you change, they change the game.
That's right. That would be a losing proposition. And also the scripture says, take not the ways of your oppressors.
Yeah. Wow. Be ye not envious of your oppressor and choose none of his ways. Proverbs.
There you go.
How y'all become preachers?
That's right. We preachers though. But the thing what we need to do is start looking out for each other. We need to start looking out for each other more. We need to start protecting our communities more. We need to start supporting our African American businesses more. We need to become more concerned about each other. And if we can do that, there's no power on earth that can bring us down.
Joseph, you're going to be a preacher next.
I'm going to be a preacher. I've been a preacher. I just don't preach. I just don't preach nowhere.
You preaching now?
Hey, that's what I tell folks on my show. I was called to a different kind of ministry, and that is to promote the financial and economic empowerment of the people in my community. So that is my
ministry.
That's
why I tell people all the time, it's a sorry preacher that can't preach until Sunday morning. You need to preach. You need to preach every opportunity you get.
Oh Lord! Y'all getting deep.
All right, guys. We are on the 8 o'clock hour. I want to thank everybody for listening in. This is what we're going to do. I want you to go to I want you to go to Brothers For Real. Send us an email. If you have a topic you want us to bring up, if you want to come on as a guest and join us, Brothers For Real, you don't have to be a brother to join us, but you do have to be real. So if you want to come on the show, share your skill, your gift, if you're doing something great in the community you want to talk about, just send me a note, and I will work you into our agenda, into our platform. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Facebook. Join us. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Instagram. Go to brothersforreal.com. We're going to be back next week. At the same time, we're going to be talking about some of the realest issues in the realest way. Brothers, I want you to give me your closing thoughts for the day. Let's start with you, Joseph.
My closing thought is, in order for us to survive, we're going to have to do it for ourselves, because oppressors throughout history, they have never changed their ways. The only time real change occurred is when the oppressed changed. That's my thought.
All right, Leon, wrap it up.
Yeah, man, I want to say this right quick. When we refer to Donald Trump, I think we really need to start referring to him as President Donald Trump. And the reason I
never
say that
referred
is because,
to him as President.
Well, let me say that. I think we need to refer to him as President Donald Trump because he is the president.
We do.
And until we start, yes, sir, and until we start looking at him as President of the United States, we're not going to take this fool seriously. I mean, this is serious stuff, man.
That might be a good well, whatever.
I understand his strategy.
That's a good angle, Leo. I got to marinate on that one, but go ahead.
Marinate on that, man. Like when you just say, oh, 45 did this, or whatever you call it. This dude is the president of the United States, the most powerful in the world, the most powerful position in the world. And if we keep minimizing it by calling him something else, we don't take him seriously. That guy,
right. We don't see the real problem.
Leon,
you make a good point,
Leon,
but I guess it's hard to stomach that, but you make a good point.
I'm going to sleep on that one, Leon. I hear you, but I'm going to have to sleep on it. I got to let that sink in for a minute.
Think about it a minute.
Good point.
And this is the last thing I want to say about that. Now, y'all remember what Barney Fife used to say about Ernest T. Bass. I know you're trying to color sugarcoat sometimes. What's up with that dude? But the only thing Barney Fife would say about Ernest T. Bass is he's a nut. Trump's a nut.
Now, Leon, you done told us, I'm going to keep it in context. You told us to call Donald J. Trump
is a nut.
You all.
That way people say the president of the United States is a nut.
He's a nut.
Hey, Leon, you also told us you were surprised that the chicken came home wrapped in newspaper. So I'm going to take everything you said and sandwich it between those two things.
No pun intended.
But I got you, brother. I got you, brother. Yeah.
What else?
Well, he's a nut, though.
Yeah.
But I got your point, though,
Leon. Ignorance personified.
I got you. That is a very interesting perspective. I'm going to be marinating on it right now.
Yeah.
Come on, tell the truth. I've been calling 45 the fool in the White House, the crazy man in the White House, the knucklehead. I've called him everything except president. So you got me thinking now. I'm not saying I'm going to go along with it, but you got me thinking, brother. You got me thinking.
I've been calling the man with the dead squirrel on top of his head.
Now, Joe, that is not presidential. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
Curtis, wrap it up, Curtis.
Yeah.
Wrap it up, Robert.
Yeah, I do just want to, again, thank you, man, and this is really great. I just want to just say next time when you come back, if you want, I really can have some solutions offerings. Of course, the other brothers have solutions as well, but there are some specific things that we are working on when it comes to police accountability, when it comes to the institution of white supremacy, Donald Trump, NFL.
So there are a few things, and of course the church. So I just want you to know that I didn't get the opportunity to get into solutions, but I do want the audience to know that the brothers also have solutions.
Curtis, you put the icing on the cake. You took the words out of my mouth. I'm glad you said it because that was the next thing I was about to say. We are not talking to hear ourselves talk. What I wanted to do is to throw out some topics that are on people's minds.
Yes, sir.
I want you, not just the brothers, I want you, the listeners, to go back into your corners, to go back into your quarters, go back into your think tank, go back into your living room, around the family table, discuss these issues. And I want everybody, whatever your perspective is, you don't have to agree with the brothers. You don't have to agree with Robert Gatewood, Joseph Gatewood, Leon Gatewood, or Curtis Gatewood. We may lean a little one way more than another. I give you that. We're brothers. But we don't minimize anybody's thought, anybody's perspective, anybody's angle. If you voted for Trump, I mean, I'm going to say bless you first, but if you want to call in and voice your opinion and let us know why, we'd like to hear it. If you are have a certain belief, I want to hear about it. We will give you the respect of listening to your point of view. I believe everybody should be entitled to free speech in this country, and we're not going to stop it right here on the Brothers for Real radio show. What we're going to do, we're going to come back, but in the meantime, follow us, join us on our social media and our website, brothersforreal.com. I am Robert Gatewood. I am the host of the show, along with my three brothers, Joseph, Leon, and Curtis. And I want to thank you for listening. You have been great. We have had the phones have been lit up. I can see the number of calls over here. We also got people listening online. Thank you. We're going to be back. And guess what? Like Curtis said, we're not just talking. We're going to bring you some solutions. And that is our mission. We have the four P's here. We have the people, the purpose, the power, and progress. And you're going to see all of that through the Brothers for Real. Brothers, I want to thank you again. Tell Mom hello when you see her. I'll be down there to see her soon. And Leon, I may see you at homecoming. I'm not sure yet, but I'll keep you posted, my brother. All right,
come on,
brother.
Man. Come to homecoming, man. Come on.
Y'all want to go to Livingstone? Come to North Carolina Center. It's the same weekend, October 28th.
Hey, Joseph. Yep. Your homecoming the same weekend?
Same weekend, October 28th.
You got to get
a little
So come to Durham. Hey, that's closer than Salisbury.
Leon. Hey, man, give me some music, Leon. Help the brother out. Help the brother out.
I
got to
get you some music, man. Yeah, this is embarrassing.
Leon, I'm putting you in charge
man,
of music, all right?
You can have Person Gatewood music, too, on some of these shows. Person Gatewood, bro.
Anything, but
hey,
that.
Y'all
want to
hit a tune one day, we'll come on here. Y'all think we can harmonize over the air?
Yeah, that'd
tonight.
Be great, man.
I love that. Yeah, we'll sing one night, but not tonight.
All right, brother. Love you, my brother.
Yeah.